Hola, hola, meses and badasses. Are you looking for a safe space where we can talk about the shitty parts of starting a business, having a job, and the journey of entrepreneurship? This is it. This is Mess to Badass Podcast, and I am Pam, a creative consultant and founder of Embrace the Mess. With this podcast, I want to help you turn your struggles into superpowers. Here, we will talk about being imperfect, messy, human, and just being you. Also, this podcast is unedited, bilingual, and there will be some cursing. So get ready to go from mess to badass. In today's episode, we are talking to a badass Latina, Marta Ramos, the founder and CEO of the CEO Club. She's also a coach, podcaster, just a badass bitch. So, Marta, how are you today?
Hi, Pam. Thank you so much for having me. I am doing well. I can't wait for us to get into this messy conversation.
Yeah. And it's going to be bilingual, which is going to be the best because you are my first Latina. Well, second, but first Latina that actually speaks Spanish.
I feel so honored. Yes, to the bilingualism.
Yes, I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, so to start, tell me where we can find you because I always forget at the end. So let's just get rid of that now. So where can we find you? And then we'll go with the interview.
So right now, I mean, honestly, I'm going to be fully transparent. I do not like to play on social media, but most of where I spend my time is on Instagram. And also the podcast, you know, the Audacious As Fuck podcast, which they can find streaming on all major platforms. And I just recently launched my YouTube channel because people are like, oh, you know, I want to see you doing the interview. So now I tend to record my podcast, both video and audio, so people can catch the YouTube channel as well.
I love it. And your podcast is awesome. We were just talking about it and you said that one of your reviews felt like you were just hanging out with your friends in la sala, the living room, and just like chilling and just getting personal development. And for everybody that's listening, it is so true. So go check it out, especially if you're Latina, because you'll get the whole like bilingual situation. So I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. And for, we'll make sure we click to our interview because you were a guest on my show as well. And the conversation was incredible. So we'll make sure that we also include that episode so people could tune in.
Yeah. Look at you. Oh my gosh. You're ready to like sell everything. The podcast, the everything.
No, you know what it is? It's cross promo. Like one of the things that I've noticed from our white counterparts in this space is that they promote each other. Like they help each other grow. Like I literally, so I don't know if you're familiar with Amy Potterfield.
Yeah.
So I actually pre-ordered her book 2 weeks notice, and Lewis House, who's like the host of the School of Greatness podcast, he also has a book coming out and which I also pre-ordered. But what I noticed is that they cross-interviewed each other about each other's books. And then they're on all these other platforms talking about their books. And I'm like, I want to see this more with our Latinos, Latinas, you know, African-Americans, like the people of color. Like we should be cross-promoting and collaborating so we can help each other grow. Because at the end of the day, and you know this, Pam, we cannot do this by ourselves.
Amen to that. 1,000%. And I feel like, yes, maybe we have to learn from our counterparts and help each other out. I mean, we always say that we do, like Latinos are very like united, but I feel like at the same time we have also separated. So now it's time to like bring it all in, you know, like how you live all together. Let's do that with all of our people. So I love that you're saying that. Excuse me. Okay. So let's do this. Are you ready for the questions?
Yeah.
Are you ready to get messy?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I'm an open book.
I love it. I love it. I can't wait to see where this is going to take us because you have the heads up, but you don't know where I'm going to go with all that. So first of all, you know that with this podcast, we go from your messy journey to your badass moments to where you are now. So first of all, let us know, When did you feel your messiest as a person?
When did I feel my messiest as a person? So I'm going to take you back to being in college. And this is right around the time. So first of all, just so your listeners know, I became emancipated from my parents at the age of 17. So I was still in high school when I was an adult, living on my own, paying rent, having two or three jobs after school, and, you know, putting food on the table, clothes on my back. Like, school became my fourth priority when I was a senior in high school. Literally, I used to fall asleep in class, but my counselor was so nice that he told my teachers, like, this is what's going on in her personal life. If she falls asleep in your class, she'll just make up the work. Like, you know, so I was doing all of that in my senior year in high school. And this is, I'm going to age myself. This is back in 1994, because I graduated high school in 95. And by the time I got to college, and I think it was my sophomore year, all of that stress that I had gone through those past few years, that mental, emotional, physical stress caught up to me. And I was actually, after being a year on the dean's list, having a straight A, like 4.0 GPA, I dropped all the way to a 2.7.
No.
Because I literally was getting D's in all my classes. It caught up to me, like a couple of years of working full-time, going to school full-time, and, you know, the fact that I was doing it all on my own, because, you know, as Latinas, we're taught that we're these super women and we have to take care of everything else and then put ourselves last. That's what I was taught. So that's what I was doing. I was putting myself last. And yeah, I just broke down. Like, I remember having panic attacks while I was in school. I was very depressed. And it took a lot for me to, like, graduate by the time I was a senior, graduate with, like, I think I ended up graduating with a 3.5 GPA. So I was able to build it back up, but it took me 2 years. Like, and that's one of the things I couldn't understand. I'm like, damn, I went from a whole year on the dean's list, and just like that, in one semester, my GPA dropped dramatically, but then it took me four semesters to build it back up to the 3.5. So yeah, I know that the journey or the story was a little long, but I think that was probably one of the times that I've been the messiest in my life.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that, because that's a little personal, so I appreciate it. But it sounds like this might relate to, like, how Latinos, Latinas are, like, brainwashed, if you want to call it, or how we were, like, raised. And the fact that you left yourself at the, like, last also shows, you know, like, all these old school mentalities that have been ingrained in us. And it's just really sad. But at the same time, also the hustle, you know, like, you have to hustle to survive and all this stuff. And the reality is that it burns you out. And that's what happened. And that's why, like, no matter how awesome you were doing in school, finally the burnout caught up to you. Yeah. And, like, you know, like, and then it's like trying to ignite yourself took a while. And now, I mean, look at you. Now you're a badass. But, you know, it just takes a while to, like, get your shit together, pretty much.
And, you know, now that you say burnout, I didn't even make that correlation way back when, maybe because, you know, the terminology wasn't as known as it is today. But that is exactly how I felt. Like, I just felt completely burnt out and super stressed. And my body, you know, mentally, emotionally, physically was giving me signs, but because, to your point, we're conditioned to always hustle, right? Like, dale hasta que tú pueda, coño, hasta que te muera, if that's the case, right? Like, until you die, just go. And I didn't realize that, yeah, it took a toll on me, and it's something that we were conditioned to think, which, fast forward to, like, my corporate days, maybe that's, yeah, I went through it again. Maybe that's why I'm like so gung-ho and not going back to corporate, because I'm like, yeah, I don't want to be constantly stressed and burned the fuck out and overwhelmed all the time.
1,000%. I would refuse. Like, you know, when you have those moments where you're like, okay, shit is not happening with my business. I don't know what to do. Should I go back to corporate? You start working on your resume and then you're like, no, you know what? No, I am going to keep struggling, and I'd rather just struggle and build my own business than go back to that. Because, and you and I know a lot of badass women that are in corporate and make awesome amounts of money and have amazing lives, but we know that they might be happy, but they are not fully happy because of their lifestyle. And like us, correct me if I'm wrong, but like us, we are in the process of building our businesses. I mean, you have your shit together more than I do. You know, I'm a mess. But I feel like we're happier. Like, okay, maybe we're not making millions. Maybe we're not in that corporate job that, you know, like makes you this badass bitch, this girl boss, whatever you want to call it. But we're just happy. You know, like we can enjoy life. If we want to take a day off, we can take a day off. If we have cramps, we can have cramps without even being worried about anything, because you don't have to depend on the work phone, the calls, the whatever, like living 24 hours on that. I mean, and whether you are a CEO in a company or you are just like an admin, you still have to work 24/7 for a job, because if they need you, you have to be there. And I don't know, what do you think about that?
No, absolutely. There's time. Listen, I am broker than broke because I've been for 5 years building my business, building my brand, you know, leading my life from a place of authenticity and being unapologetic as fuck, because I know what it felt like to be a woman in corporate who, yes, I had the six figures. Yes, I was hitting the red carpets. Yes, I was missing meeting all these celebrities, like having such an amazing lifestyle, but I was very unhappy. And I remember like someone had reached out to me and was like, oh my God, I want to be you when I grow up. Like your lifestyle is so amazing. You get to travel to all these places and meet all these celebrities. And I'm like, yeah, on the outside, everything looks great. And on paper, everything is phenomenal. But on the inside, my soul was being crushed. I was slowly dying inside. I was losing sight of who I was at the core, of what I was capable of, because I felt stifled. I felt stagnant. I felt like I didn't know who I was becoming anymore.
Yeah. Yes, 100%.
And those are feelings that no matter how much money I made or all these amazing opportunities that I had was not nowhere near of what I feel now, which is peace of mind. And my peace is priceless.
Amen to that. Yes, 1,000%. I mean, literally you saying that, it made my heart skip a beat. That was really, really nice. So thank you for sharing that.
And we have to encourage, and not to cut you off, but we have to encourage your listeners, right? Like, embrace the mess, embrace the season that you're in, really take time to know who you are at the core and validate everything that you're going through. Because at the end of the day, we're all human beings.
Yeah.
Like, title and money don't fucking mean shit. If you're unhappy, you don't have peace of mind, you're constantly on the go, go, go. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, but is this the life that I'm meant to live? Like, this is not what I signed up for.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It sounds like fun, but eventually catches up to you. And that's what messes everything up. So it's fun for a little bit, but then once you like want to build a family or whatever you want to build, like, it's just not, it doesn't equate what you really want for your own life. So I get it. Yeah. I get it. And thank you for sharing all that with, with the listeners, with me, with everybody. But now that we're talking about business and like the corporate and all that fun stuff, why don't you share a messy moment either in the corporate job, in a corporate job that you've been, or your messiest moment as an entrepreneur?
Listen, girl. Well, first of all, in corporate, it was a lot of messy moments, right? Especially being a woman of color working in advertising, which is an industry that is predominantly white. All the senior managers, all the head honchos were mostly white. And there were times that I really felt, and they made me feel, right? Like I had given them the power where I felt like I wasn't good enough or smart enough, or like I belonged. Like I never really felt like I belonged in corporate. And that has led me to, still to now in my business, suffer from imposter syndrome, because I think that I am being a fraud. Because who are you to think that you can run a business? Who are you to think that you can make an impact on a global scale? Who are you to think that someone is going to pay you for your services? Like all that mess, I still see that I'm bringing it into my business. But the difference now is that I have the tools, the resources, and the coaching to quickly shift out of it.
Love it. And you also get to recognize it because now you understand it better.
Yes.
I mean, I feel like with everything that has happened in the world lately, we're just like more aware of our mental health and like what we're going through and how to fix it. So kudos to you for overcoming all that. And I can tell you that imposter syndrome, I call her the bitch in my head. Mm-hmm. And that bitch is tough, especially because she's a Latina and she's like, I got this. I'm on it. My job is to fuck you over and I'm going to do it great.
And you know what's interesting? That recently I was watching Good Morning America and they had a story that Shakira still suffers from imposter syndrome. Can you believe that shit?
No, I cannot. I mean, she's like literally considered one of the smartest women in the world.
And gorgeous.
And gorgeous.
Yeah. And you're like, I'm like, wait a minute. That just validated that it's okay for me to feel these feelings.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. So, and because she's a Latina from like a little country in South America, which makes it even better.
Yeah.
I love that you brought that up. Yes. Mm-hmm. So continuing with your messy stuff and your messiness, since you had tons of messy moments in life and in corporate, what about considering yourself a messy entrepreneur?
All the time, girl, all the time. And you know that it's a constant struggle to build a brand, especially I feel like as a woman of color, a lot of our people don't invest in the type of services that we provide. So me as a coach, business strategist, like I was talking to one of my mentors who's also a Latina, and I'm not going to mention the name of the community, but the community is a community for Latinos to kind of grow in life and business. And they have like, I want to say like over 20,000 members, but it's all free. And that CEO is now having a hard time shifting those members into a paid membership. And I'm like, this is why I refuse to build my membership for free, because I know that once you start giving people the tools and resources for free, like they're not going to want to invest in themselves, right? And for me as an entrepreneur, I find that that has been one of the
oh no, you just froze. Martha.
And their company pay for it.
I lost you for a little bit. You were frozen.
Okay. So I don't know where we left off, where I froze.
You froze where you when you were saying that you refuse to give free anything.
Well, have a free membership, right? Like I give tons of value through my podcast,
Yes, you do.
right? So through my podcast, I give tons of values, tools, resources. I mean, the amazing women that come on the shows, just like Pam did and shared her wisdom. Like that's a lot of value that people, our white counterparts, paid thousands of dollars for. And we give it for free through our podcast. So for me, it's just how can we get more women, especially more women of color, more Latinas, to kind of invest in their personal and professional growth? That seems to be like one of my biggest challenges is like how can they see the value in what you're doing? And for me, it's like look at my own transformation. Look at how I went from a woman in corporate who was yes, had amazing opportunities, but at the end of the day was so unhappy, was burnt out, was damn near depressed, to actually building a global brand with her podcasts and speaking engagements and, you know, coaching, like all of these amazing things that we get to do, and we get to lead our own life.
You're just like you're speaking to me. It's like, should I just join your group? I mean, like, you're speaking
Come on over.
my language.
No, it's just it's como te digo, it's I learned from a very young age that we need to invest in our personal growth because like I said, when I became emancipated at 17, it was personal growth that saved my life. Like my brand is all about you being the CEO of your life, you being the chief empowered officer, the chief executive officer of your life. And that takes personal development. That's not learning how to negotiate or how to create an Excel sheet or no, that is personal development. That's all about having a vision and a mindset strategy and infusing spirituality and habits that are going to make you grow as an individual to ultimately become better in your professional life. But it starts with you.
Yes, and yes. Because everything can be a facade. It's like, I mean, and I'm going to use you as an example. When you were in corporate, everybody thought that you were this like badass bitch that was happy living the life. But the reality is that everything was a facade. And you had to work on your in yourself.
Yes.
So now that you have done it, now your business is flourishing and you're killing it. So you're killing it in your podcast. I mean, I see the reviews and all the stuff in your podcast. So you are doing great. I mean, now you have members in your club. So, you know, you're doing the things right because you took care of yourself. And I think that that's something also that has come up after the pandemic. You know, like we have to take care of ourselves first to give to others.
Yes.
So that's super powerful. And thank you for saying that.
Oh, yeah, no, and I think you hit the nail in the head, like taking care of ourselves. Like I always go back to the airplane mask analogy. Like if an emergency happens, like you have to put your mask on first before you put it on. For
Somebody else,
example,
yeah.
you have kids, I don't have kids. And it's like, what a great analogy. Like, you have to take care of yourself first. You have to fill up your cup first before you can give to anyone else. But similar to the conversation we were having at the beginning, because we're Latinas, we're taught the opposite. We're conditioned to put ourselves last, which is why a lot of times women lose themselves in the process when they join their professional life. It's like, all of a sudden they become their world, the job, the work that they're doing, the title, or let's put this in a relationship. If they're with like their partner, all of a sudden they become the person that that partner wants them to be, and they lose sight of who they are.
1,000%. And I can tell you, I don't know if you can relate with this, but my grandmother, for example, you know, like she wasn't obviously she grew up in that old school mentality and she gave everything away just to be like the mom, the wife, the cook, the cleaning lady, like everything else, the grandmother. but didn't take care of herself, you know, until like, I feel like when she was in her 70s or 80s, she finally separated from my grandfather. Don't get me wrong. They miss each other all the time. They're just, they're a mess. But she lost herself, you know, and I feel like my mom has said the same thing about her, you know, because she also wanted to be like this badass bitch and she lost herself. It's just really sad that we have to lose ourselves for others.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we get to rock bottom, that's when we realize like, okay, maybe it's time to do something about it.
Yeah.
And some don't even do it. Some stay depressed and miserable for the rest of their lives. And that eats them alive. And like literally the stress, the sadness, the depression, the anxiety, all that stuff, it's literally killing you slowly, but doing it. And it's something that I feel like Black women and Latinas suffer a lot with that because of how we were raised from previous lives and ancestors and all that stuff. So
yeah,
it is unfortunate.
And first of all, kudos that your grandparents, I think that's super cute because they miss each other. I'm like, that is super cute. I remember growing up and my parents always fighting. And I remember telling my mom, why don't you guys get divorced? And she said to me that the reason she wouldn't do it is because of us, her kids, and because we were young. And I'm like, well, fuck, I don't want you to be unhappy, Dike, because you have to stay with him because of us. Like, we'll be fine. Like, you're not going to be the first or last couple that gets divorced. Mm-hmm. Like, I prefer for you guys to be divorced and happy separately than together and always at each other's throat.
Mm-hmm.
So when they finally separated, it was like a little breathing space for me because then they became the best of friends. Now they talk to each other like best friends, and you know, yes, they have their moments, pero they get along better now than they did when they were married.
Yeah, I know. I mean, sometimes you were not made to be a couple.
No.
So it just doesn't work out sometimes, but it's crazy. It's crazy how we just like completely turned the podcast into like Latinas and lifestyle and all that stuff.
Well, the beauty of us Latinas is that we come with all this baggage and messiness that we then turn into our into our badasses, right? Like, and that shows our resilience and our grit as Latinas. That's what makes us powerful.
See? Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And yes, yes. We're dropping the mic there with all that. I don't even want to ask you more questions, but we'll go because there's more coming. And I know that you have a lot of stories to bring into this. So before we started this the podcast episode, we were talking about social media. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I stopped doing social media. It was giving me tons of anxiety, like the comparison, the imposter syndrome, all that stuff that's happening. But as you said that you are an open book, first of all, are you using social media right now? And then second, what is something that super shitty that has happened to you that you have not shared in social media or in your podcast?
So I do use social media to promote my podcast episodes more often than none. So when I go on there, it's either to share an upcoming episode or to remind people to go tune in to previous episodes. 2 weeks ago, I was doing quick lives or putting videos on stories, I should say, where I was sharing, you know, tips and shit like that. Mm-hmm. But something that has happened that I haven't shared. First of all, I don't have a lot of followers on social media and I don't engage as much. So there's nothing that has happened. Okay, I could say, oh shit, this shitty thing. Let me take it back. One of the most annoying things that I am finding on social media, which is also turning me off, is that I'm having all these women who are, I guess, selling their bodies like, I don't know if this has happened to you, Pam, but they're liking my stories and commenting on my shit with like, come fuck me. Have you gotten those bots?
Yes.
And I'm like, what is going on? Why are these people the one liking and commenting my shit?
Right. I mean, thank you. You're like, okay, I'm flattered, but
Pero me tiene
no.
tanta, and I'm like, who do we, like, I keep blocking and reporting, pero
Yeah, I
sorry.
mean, I had to do it for a while. I have to tell you, like, I was getting a lot of those, and it's just bots, which is unfortunate because those are the bots that get bought by people that want a lot of followers. And then when they start, like, if somebody that might have bought them, then it will they translate to you, which is super unfortunate. But you have to keep reporting it, keep blocking it, and then hopefully it disappear because with me, it did disappear eventually. Like, they stop. So
Okay.
I think once the algorithm starts realizing that you don't want any of that, then it will stop. But in the meantime, you just have to be patient, unfortunately. But yes, it is pretty shitty. It is pretty annoying. And it has nothing to do with like what you're doing. So like why? Like I'm sure that there's plenty of people that are looking for any of that. So it's just I don't know. I just don't get it. But anyways, let's go to your badass section now. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Ooh.
Are you ready to talk about the badass part of your life?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, as you know, and then everybody that's listening knows, I have a badass quiz because I want to also bring the badass on everybody, like as messy as we can be, all those failures, all those struggles can help us become a badass. So, you took the quiz, and what was the answer?
So apparently, I'm sorry, not sorry.
Okay, so I'm going to read what a sorry, not sorry badass is. You are a tough cookie. You have gone through a lot in life. You have fallen, messed up, and gotten up. You don't let your close friends or family get bullied. You are nice and sweet, but people don't want to see your bad side because it is scary. People know not to fuck with you. You are an advocate for others that don't have a voice and balls as big as yours. And no matter what you have to go through, you will do it. Always making sure to look fabulous while doing it. People know they can't fuck with you or your close ones because you're always ready to kick some ass. You are the badass that fights for what is right.
Amen.
Yeah, it's fitting.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I love it.
I don't like, first of all, I'm very empathetic. It's because I actually learned this recently that I am a highly sensitive, like an HSP, highly
Okay.
sensitive person. So my nervous system is like on overdrive and is one of the reasons why I control the space and the people that I allow into my life because I don't like toxicity. Because I, all that energy, lo jalo.
Yeah, you like suck it in. Yeah.
Yes. And it makes me, really depressed. Like I can't see other people suffering or crying because I feel it in my core. And then I start crying. So when I see other people doing something that is not right, I say something. Which is probably one of the reasons why I got let go in corporate too so many times. Because when people used to tell me like, "Shut up" or something like that, I'm like, first of all, you're not my mama, so I don't care what title you have. Like you're just not gonna speak to me that way. So yeah, it is very fitting.
Oh, I love it. Well, you were asking for respect. You were just defending yourself, so fuck it.
Yeah.
So now that you know about that you're a badass, and we all know that you're a badass after all the things that you have shared with us, do you think that being highly sensitive, it's your superpower, or do you have another superpower? And tell me, how did you find it?
So that's whenever people tell me my superpower, I tend to lean towards resilience
Okay.
because I've been through so much in my life. And like the quiz says, I've gotten knocked down so many times, but yet I still have the courage to get back up and keep going. So I would say resilience. is my superpower, and it's actually something that I draw from like my ancestors. So I go back to thinking about what their life must have been like if they were through slavery, you know, getting beaten, whatever the case might be. And if they were able to go through that, then who am I not to live their wildest dreams? So that's where I draw like my resiliency from. It's like, girl, lo que tú estás pasando ahora is nothing compared to what they must have endured.
Oh, that's so good. So good. So you think that you found it once you emancipated or just later in life?
So I think being emancipated at 17 was one of the examples that led me later on in life to say my superpower is being resilient.
Okay, I love it. I mean, the fact that you had a big pair to emancipate yourself, that just says it all because I would have never. I need my mommy and papi.
And listen, I'm thinking back to it, I needed them too, but this is the thing that drove me to do that, and it is part of my CEO method. Like, I had a vision for what I wanted my life to look like. I had a vision for what I wanted my career to be. I had a vision of the type of car I wanted to drive, the type of place I wanted to live. And when my parents decided to, because they had both lost their jobs here in New York, where I'm from, they had decided to move the entire family back to Dominican Republic. And I knew deep down that that vision that I had for myself, if I was to move back to DR, which is a third world country, I wouldn't be able to come back and then live that vision that I foresaw. So I decided that if this is something that I really, really wanted, then I was going to become emancipated, just grow a pair, and just do what I had to do in order to see that vision come to life.
That's impressive. And you are manifesting since you were 17.
So, yes. Actually, younger than that, you know why? Because I used to watch the Oprah show growing up, and I manifested meeting that lady. And it took me 20 plus years, but I met Oprah, and I was, you know, sitting next to her at one point, and it was amazing. So manifestation has always been a part of me. I think it's been a part of my family. We're very spiritual in that sense. So yeah, I love manifestation and spirituality and all that good shit.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Speaking of Oprah, you know that I always call you the Latina Oprah. So I'm going to see you. You get this, you get that. Even
You get a car, you get a
though
car.
you'll do it in your own way because you'll be yourself, but you know what I'm saying. You'll get there. I believe in you. I've believed in that since I met you. So, yeah.
I love you.
I love you, girl. Okay, we're almost done. We have two more questions. So, these ones are going to be fun. So, do you know what a messy bestie is?
A messy best. No, tell me.
Okay, so I talk about messy besties, about being that person, can be guy, girl, whatever you want to call, that is there for you for everything. She or he is your ride or die. And when you're down, brings you back up. When you need support, they're there. They could be for business, they could be for life, they could be whatever, but you know that person is the one that keeps you going. It could be your mom, it could be your sister, it could be a guy, doesn't matter, but do you have a messy bestie?
Wow, well, since you described it that way, I'm actually blessed to have a few of those people on my corner. My mom, my sister being part of that realm, my partner, he's also a huge supporter. Yeah, and a few entrepreneurial friends that are now like family that I can actually have moments where I'm crying and cursing and, you know, wanting to give up. And they just keep encouraging me and pushing me towards greatness.
Yes. And do you think that all entrepreneurs should have a messy bestie?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because, first of all, there's a lot of people in our industry that praise you becoming a millionaire from one day to the next in entrepreneurship. And that is not the case. It takes a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. It takes a lot of failing. It takes a lot of pivoting in order to find your path on this journey. Like, or path and journey is like the same thing, but in order to find yourself on this journey of entrepreneurship, which is like a fucking roller coaster, you need those messy besties to keep pushing you, encouraging you to be the best version of you. And let me tell you what entrepreneurship has done for me. It's all about personal development. It's all about helping me grow into the best version of myself, something that I couldn't do in corporate, because in corporate, I was following someone else's blueprint of how they wanted me to be. In entrepreneurship, and you know this, we have the freedom of being who we are and working with the people that we want to work and creating the things or working on the things that we want to work on. And then having the time, right, to actually take time for ourselves. Like, we just have this amazing freedom. But with that, it comes with a lot of struggles. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I've been, you know, yeah, a lot of mistakes in entrepreneurship, but I take it as a lesson and I ask God or the universe to kind of show me what I need to learn in that moment. And then that propels me forward.
Wow. Wow. I don't even know what to say.
So yeah. Yes, we need them.
So yes, no, we need them. And especially you always need a Latina, because we will push you and we will make you cry when you need some tough love.
Yeah.
So make sure to have a messy bestie that is Latina, please.
Yes. Or listen to Pam's podcast and you'll kind of find that messy bestie along the way too. So,
or your podcast, Martha's podcast. I mean, come on, audacious as fuck. Who doesn't want that? Come on, let's be real. Martha, so one last question and then I will let you go and be free and enjoy the rest of your day.
This is fun.
This was so fun. Don't worry, don't say bye yet. Let's see where this question takes us. Calm down.
I love it.
So what are the words? I mean, you gave us tons of gems, but what are your last words of advice for entrepreneurs that are struggling?
Don't give up and always stay true to who you are. Because the same way that I lost sight of myself in my corporate career, I, for a moment, lost sight of who I was on this journey. So I had to tap back into who I am at the core. And yeah, so that's what I would say, is like, never lose sight of who you are. Don't quit. And also the most important thing is, and this could be not just for entrepreneurship, but life in general, is never allow your circumstances to define who you are. It's your choices that define you far more.
Oof, oof, oof. That was so good. And now a second mic drop with that. And we can just leave it there. There's nothing else to say. Well, Martha, ha sido un placer. Like always, you're absolutely incredible. I don't know why we don't talk more often, but we really should.
El gusto es mío. And yes, let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Yes. I mean, we can do like, you know, social events, virtual events. And if not, I should go and visit you in New York. We're literally like an hour away from each other. We should literally plan something.
Where are you again?
In Connecticut.
In Connecticut. That's right. I think you live near some of our friends up there.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, literally across the street. Yeah. But thank you so much for making the time to be in Mess to Badass. Thank you for sharing your messes and sharing your struggles and becoming a badass, because you're encouraging other Latinas to keep going, and that whatever you put yourself in your head, it can happen. So thank you so much for that, because you definitely motivate others and inspire others. And I know that you have inspired me and motivated me. So thank you so much for that.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for having me. And you know, same thing to you, right? Like, thank you for bringing your own voice into the podcast realm. And I love this setup. I love that we can be our true messy self and still show the power that we have in that mess. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for bringing the show to fruition. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Oh, that really means, oh, my heart. It's beating so fast from that. Well, messes and badasses, don't forget to show some love to this amazing Latina. Please follow her on everything. Everything will be on the show notes. And Marta, un gustazo. Cuídate mucho.
Same to you.
Bye.
Thank you, messes and badasses, for listening to today's episode. Check the show notes for any updates and don't forget to subscribe to the show and share it. Have an amazing day and don't forget to see failures as opportunities to start over and better. Bye.